Good morning, church. It's good to see everyone here this morning, and I pray that you're blessed. I know that you're blessed. What an awesome time in worship and connecting with God and connecting with other believers. I believe you are blessed. You know, if you've been here at least for one of the days this past week, you know how God has been good to us. And today we're basically wrapping up our faith week, what we like to call it, just a week of intense seeking God and fasting and prayer. And we're going to finish it off with communion in some minutes here. But before that, I wanted to share something that's been on my heart. And if you have missed any of these days, I believe it's going to bless you. It's going to be just a huge, huge boost for a year for what God has for us. Amen. Because God is good. God is very good. And we're going to tap into that. We're going to connect with that. We're going to agree with that. We're going to hold on to that no matter what holds for us in this year, because God is above all. I have two scriptures for you this morning, and I'm going to share for just a few minutes before we're going to finish it off, everything with communion. First scripture is a story found in Mark chapter 3, Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And I titled my message simply, Receiving Answers to Your Prayer. Receiving answers to your prayer. And I just wanted to share a few thoughts about prayer. I know we pray the entire week, and you might say, why do we have to repeat it again? But as we enter this new year, as we go into this new year, I believe God has some guidance and direction for us in this regard. So receiving answers to your prayers. Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, talks about Jesus here. He says, Jesus entered again into synagogue, and a man was there whose hand was withered. They were watching him to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. He said to the man with the withered hand, get up and come forward. And he said to them, is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill? But they kept silent. After looking around at them with anger, grieved at the hardness of their heart, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. And I want to read to you another scripture. It's in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. I'm going to read from Holman Christian Study Bible. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. It says here, keep asking, and it will be given to you. Keep searching, and you will find. Keep knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive, and the one who searches, finds, and to the one who knocks on the door will be open. What man among you, if your son asks him for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence. We thank you that you are truly good, and you're revealing to us the goodness of God in 2019. Lord, and as we enter 2019, Father, we want to enter with anticipation, expectation, agreement with your goodness and your grace and your heart for us, God. Yes, we live in a broken world, and there is an enemy, and there is a thing set against us, but God is good, and your plan is good, and your heart is good, and you work always for good in our hearts. And I pray that as we look into these two scriptures this morning, and as we wrap up, God, this week of ministry and pursuing you, God, that our hearts will be renewed, refreshed, and restored this morning. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The story we read out of Mark is quite fascinating. And in fact, it's a story that happens a few times with a little bit different details. But the basic premise is Jesus walks into a synagogue on a Sabbath. And, you know, they would meet in the synagogue on a Sabbath in Israel back in the day. To this day, they do that. But, you know, back in the day, that was the day of worship. When temple was destroyed, they began to build synagogues. And even though there was a temple during times of Jesus, that's when the gatherings in different villages and towns would happen on the Sabbath. And he walked in, and obviously Jesus had a reputation for healing people. Everywhere he went, Bible says he preached the gospel of the kingdom, healing people, casting out demons. And so he walked into the synagogue, and these leaders of the synagogue, they kind of knew that if Jesus walks in, there's going to be trouble. You know, he's going to stir things around. And what's really fascinating to me about this story is the following, is that they knew exactly, it was a setup. That's the hard part. It was a setup. I mean, there was a man who was sick, and Jesus walked in, and these people were happy that Jesus walked in, not for the right reason. Not because they said, hey, we're about to witness a miracle. They were happy because it was a setup, because they can catch Jesus breaking the law. Because according to their interpretation of law, no work could be done on the Sabbath. And Jesus rebuked them for that so many times because they totally missed the point of a Sabbath. Sabbath was so you wouldn't do no physical work, so you can do the work of God, so you can rejoice in the presence of God, not so you can just be sitting there and judging anybody who lifts a finger. So, and what's amazing, Mark says that Jesus knew exactly what they were thinking. You know, there's a similar story in Luke about a woman who was a bent double, who was possessed by the spirit of infirmity. She was literally bent double like that. Maybe you saw people like that. And the same thing, she was 18 years, she was sick like that. And the Bible says they were watching him to see what he's going to do, if he's going to heal her or if he's going to heal this guy on the Sabbath. And Jesus gets up here and he poses a question, says, is it lawful to do good things in the Sabbath? I mean, he's got asking a legitimate question. He said, is this what this gathering is all about? Are we here just to live in the theory how God is good, he can do these things? Or are we here to experience the power of God? And Bible says, you know, this is what in Mark, the scripture, it's very rare that Jesus got angry. So when you notice Jesus being angry, pay attention to that. There's only two times in the Bible, one when he was in a temple, when he was casting out, and here Mark says that Jesus looked at them with anger, grieved at the hardness of their heart. What was Jesus so angry about? I believe what Jesus was angry about, he was angry at that spirit who made a nice spiritual excuse why God can do something. And as we were praying through this faith week and fasting and seeking God, and we were praying for different people and different needs and different situations, and what I sensed in my spirit is the following, is that devil has lied to us. And he lied to us in such a scheming way because we all have very nice spiritual reasons why God doesn't answer prayers. And I've noticed that the people are afraid to ask. They're afraid to ask for specific things because they simply don't believe that God will answer them, because whether through their religious upbringing or their experience or observing somebody didn't receive the answer to their prayer, we have a nice explanation why God probably not going to answer that, so let's not bother him. Let's kind of live in this neutral land. Don't rock the boat. Don't ask too many things, because, hey, if you're going to ask and God's not going to answer you, then your faith's going to be kind of all disappointed, and that's going to be bad. So, listen, that's exactly what the devil wants you to be. He wants you to have every excuse in the book why God can't answer prayer, or won't answer prayer, or will not answer prayer. He wants you to be obsessed with that, to believe in that, and to write it down. And you know, people writing books why God doesn't answer prayers and all this stuff. And this is what I believe Jesus was so angry at. Because these people, after years and years of being in cold religion, they made a really nice religious plaque about it. Why? How God does things. And if anything's outside of the box, you get angry because, hey, he's ruining our little nice box of rules. And church, as we entering 2019, and as you even this week were praying, believing, and contending for answers from God, I want you to understand that this is mindset is from the enemy. That's not of God. It's not of God. Now, has there been time when God didn't answer his prayer? Of course there has been. But he had a bigger reason for that. There was still an answer. There is a bigger reason for that. So I want to dive in from this story into the second scripture we read from Matthew chapter 7. It's where Jesus says, keep asking, keep seeking, and keep knocking. Now, your translation might say keep asking, it just might say ask or seek or knock. But most translations didn't do a service to us, because if you read it, a rendition, just ask and you shall receive, it implies that it's only enough to ask once. And sometimes it is enough to ask once. But if you study the grammar a little bit in Greek there, the verb there is a present continuous tense. What it means is it's not something you have done and you just sit and wait on it. It's something you keep doing. And that's why some translations, they reflect that. They translate it as keep asking and keep seeking and keep knocking. And whoever keeps asking and whoever keeps seeking and whoever keeps knocking, for them it will be answered. And I want us to focus on those three verbs, because I believe it's not just Jesus used nice three synonyms to describe the same thing. I believe it's a level of intensity of prayer. It's when you start with asking, and when you have a need, you begin asking, and if you don't see an answer yet, you shift the gears into seeking. And when after you've been there for a while, you still have not received it, you shift the gear into knocking. And there is a different dimension to all these parts of prayer, but the heart of my message is that God, you know, Jesus, how the scripture says, it says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your Father in heaven? And how Jesus finishes and says, listen, you got it all wrong. He comes straight at the heart of the problem, that we don't believe that the heart of God is good. And that's a lie of the enemy. That's what the devil wants you to believe. He lies that God's heart for you is good. He says, hey, the reason he didn't answer your prayer, most likely because God doesn't really like you. Right? If he would have liked you, you probably would receive an answer by now. Now, we don't verbalize it like that, but that's what very often goes on the subconscious of our heart and our mind. I haven't been a really good boy this week, so hey, how can I expect an answer from prayer? And it becomes this whole deserving thing. And again, it's the spirit of religion, the spirit that Pharisees were so bound by, it's the spirit that made Jesus so angry and grieved. Because that's a lie. That's such a lie of the enemy, because it's a lie about the goodness of God's heart. It's a lie about that God does not want to answer the prayer. It's a lie that you put a shift blame on God. He doesn't answer. He doesn't want to answer because he's either not good, or he's not at least not good to you, or something else. And listen, if you want to receive an answer to your prayers in 2019, we're going to have to get rid of this mindset. Now, I know I'm asking you to step out and take a step of faith, but with this type of mindset, you will never see anything. And that's why the devil loves to keep people there. And that's why the devil loves to have little nice illustrations of how somebody so-and-so and prayed and they didn't receive it. And there you go. That's the answer for you. And we begin to base our theology and our understanding of God based on what we limitedly know what happened to somebody else. Do you see the foolishness of that? When we cancel out everything God's Word says and we look at somebody's example, and we obviously don't know the heart, we don't know the foolish story, we just see a little bit and we say, hey, they prayed, didn't happen, therefore God doesn't answer prayers. End of the story. And we begin to live like a Christian deist, you know? When God is just a guy upstairs, when he kind of, yeah, you know, the universe kind of is too complex just to evolve by itself, so we believe God is there, but he's kind of either too busy for us, or he just kind of does his own thing, he just let us run things ourselves. And then we say things like, you know, God helps those people help themselves, right? And we think it's in the Bible. And we think God is just there to help you out along the way. And how nice that is, and you know, God help me do this and that. And what a dangerous, demonic mindset that is. And that's exactly what the devil wants you to believe. That's exactly where he wants you to be. Because that's the place where you'll never see anything happen. Because listen, God helps those who can't help themselves. God came in to help us because we couldn't help ourselves. Because the needs and issues we're dealing with are bigger than ourselves. And our problems are often so bigger than our own solutions. We need God to step in and invade our darkness and invade our brokenness and invade our situation. And just a few thoughts before we're going to pray and go to our communion, I want to share with you. First thought is the following. The word keep is the key here. Okay? Keep asking. Keep seeking. And keep knocking. Listen, Jesus said many parables about how we should pray and not give up. Okay? I don't know why it takes sometimes a while for God to bring an answer to a prayer, but I know that God wants us to keep doing it. And Hebrews chapter 11 is full of examples of men and women of God who believed sometimes for decades before they saw an answer of God. And you know what? I love how the chapter ends. Says, and listen, and some of them actually didn't see it in this earth, but they believed it. And God reckoned them from His righteousness. And they saw that answer in their spirit. And they know that God has something better for them. So they knew they have it. It's just a matter that they didn't get it right here, but they knew they had it. And because of that, God counted them as righteous. Listen, you will never go wrong believing God. Never. Bible says, anyone who puts their trust in God, they will not be put to shame. You will never go wrong with trusting God. You will never be wrong of going all out. Put all your eggs in that basket of trusting God. Don't hold nothing back. Don't have any reservation. Go all out. God, I believe you all the way. God, I believe that you can answer and that you will answer this. Go all out because that's what takes to trust. It's a step of faith. Listen, don't worry about faith being shattered if you didn't get it soon enough. Because listen, Bible counts faith as righteousness. Listen, even if in God's providence, He decides that you shouldn't have that right now, or you shouldn't have this on this side of heaven, if you keep believing and if you keep asking, you're going to receive a reward for that. Because you believed in God answering your prayers. But He answers. He answers. So the first thought is keep asking. Keep knocking. I believe most of us give up too fast. Oh yes, we bring it up once in a while. We know what happens usually with us. You know, we have a problem. We begin to pray. And we pray for a week, for two, maybe for a month or two. Depend on our tenacity. And then it gets hard. And it gets discouraging. And the devil lies to us. And it gets so just tiring. So we kind of begin to pray less, and then we kind of mention it once in a while, then you just look at people, and they just have a deep sigh about them. Have you met people like that? You ask them, you know, how's it going? They just go, you know, that's how they go. Maybe you're there this morning. Listen, God wants to get you out of the place. That's not a place of faith. That's not a place. That's a place of resignation. It's a place of giving up, and God wants to give fuel for your faith. Listen, He's a good God. And if you, being a broken and a man and a broken woman, know how to be a good parent, don't you think your God, who's being perfect, knows how to be a good parent to you? Amen. So, we just need to keep at it. We need to keep at it. You keep persevering. You keep asking. Listen, when I tell people to pray, if you want to receive answers, ask specifically. Okay? Because if you just come to God and say, God, please bless me in everything I do and everything I desire, everything I want. Listen, even if God will bless you, you won't even know it. Because there's no measurable way to see if God has blessed you or if you just worked it out on yourself. So be as specific as you can. If you have a prayer journal, write it down. Say, God, I need this and how much of this and when I need this. This is what I need. And you begin to pray that because now you have a concrete something to anchor your prayer and your passion around. And you begin to pray that if you're looking for a new job, say, God, I'm looking for a job in this field. I'm looking for this much salary. Write down a number. You don't think it works? You know, my wife is a testimony, worked many times. God answers specifically when we ask specifically. Listen, don't just go, hey, God, give me a nice job. Well, what is a nice job? Right? You need to define that. And listen, and that's why sometimes our faith doesn't have teeth, doesn't have grip to it, because it's so wobbly and this big blob of things, because we don't even know what we're asking. We just know that we want things to change. And we need to have concrete desires and requests, and they have to be written down. They have to be very clear, very specific. And listen, we're afraid to do that because we say, hey, if God doesn't answer that, we very clearly know He didn't answer that. So we don't do that, right? We go for this generic, nice, religious, Christianese prayer. Oh God, may You bless me. Give me a good day. Give me a good night rest. Bless my children. Keep me healthy. Yada, yada, yada. And we just go to sleep, right? And then we wonder, why don't we see God coming through? Well, because you never asked for something so specific that you knew that if that happened, that was God. There was no way it was God. It was had to be God. There's just no way it could have happened by accident. It had to be God. So be specific and keep at it. Keep at it. And I believe these words Jesus is using, you start with asking and then you intensify it to seeking. You see, when you ask, you know, imagine you being lost on the street, right? You come to a new town before there was GPS, before there was smartphone. I know it's hard to imagine, but try. You know, you come into the city and you barely speak the language of the country and you're lost. And you're trying to look for directions and you begin to ask people in the streets and you can't get the help. And then you begin to seek. Then you begin to read the road signs. You begin to try to look in your map. And then it's getting really dark and you're really lost. And you begin to knock on people's doors because there's nobody in the street. Hey, I'm lost. I need help. And that's kind of the picture here, is that it's not just three nice words to describe the same thing. There's intensity in that. There's a passion. There's the heart that pursues. Say, God, I need that. God, we need You to come through. God, You see this need. Come through. And you pair it with fasting occasionally. And you pair it with other people coming in agreement with you and say, we're going to be knocking. We're going to be seeking. We're going to be staying at it until we see God answered prayers. Listen, God answers. God answers. And listen, when He answers, write it down. Write it down, have a journal where you write it down specifically. Put a date on it. Say, this is what I prayed for. This is how God answered. Because you know what's going to happen if you don't write it down? 6 months will pass by and you say, hey, that was a nice coincidence, right? That person really came to help through me. Because our mind has a way of playing tricks on us. Devil has a way of playing tricks on us. We kind of move on and we go back this Christian deist, you know. God helps those who help themselves. It's kind of nice. And, you know, faith is kind of a nice hobby. You do it on Sundays and don't take it too seriously. That's exactly what the devil wants you to be. That's what Jesus was so grieved at and so angered at. Because it lost the sight of God's heart. That God is good. And He wants to give you things. He's not holding back. He's not hiding. He wants to give it to you. But He also wants relationship. He's not a cash machine that you just come in. Prayer is like a debit card. You just punch in the number. I need it right now. He wants a relationship. That's why every prayer is a chance to build a relationship with God and to go deeper and to get to know Him in a deeper way, in a deeper level. But listen, God is the one who answers prayers. God is the one who doesn't only answer prayers, He does the impossible. Amen? God is the God of the impossible. Listen, if that would be possible, we didn't need God for that. But that's why we need God, because some things are humanly impossible. That's why God steps in. And when I say that, I don't mean that you pray only for things that are impossible to you. Pray even for things that are possible to you, because I want God's help in everything. Amen? I want God's help even in things that I can try really hard and do myself, but I want God's grace to come in and work through me, and it's going to be much easier. Amen? But God is a God of the impossible. Listen, throughout my short life, I've seen so many times God step in and do the impossible. You know, I shared a couple of these testimonies all throughout this year over here, but we have a lot of new places, new faces, so I want to repeat some of these stories myself just to encourage you. And if you heard me before, just hang on. Stay with me. But I want to share a testimony that really, that for me, it was an anchoring point as a child in my faith, because it was a situation where God stepped in into the impossible. And some of you know this story, heard many times, some of you first time hearing it. But when I was 6 years old, boy, I was very rowdy. I know it's hard to believe, but I wasn't a very nice boy, like some of your kids are. You know, that's why I have a grace for kids. And, you know, next door to our apartment we were living, I grew up in Ukraine, and there was another apartment they were building, and, you know, as it would happen often in Soviet times, they would start something, and it would be like that for decades before they would finish it. It was not unusual. There was no schedule in construction. So they dug this huge hole for the foundation of the next apartment building, and it was standing for so long that one side of it just collapsed because it was just after rain and all stuff. And the thing was about at least 25 feet deep. It was very deep because it was a very tall building they're building. And so as kids, of course, what do you do when you see a ditch? You jump into it, right? I mean, how difficult that is. You know, you come from the cliffside and you jump into the side that's collapsed and you just kind of land on the soft clay and it's fun and you do it over and over again. And so we thought it was a fun thing to do. We did it. And then one time I jumped and I landed badly on my foot. And I broke my foot in two places. And, you know, I felt sharp pain. I didn't know what happened. I began to cry. My brother took me home and my dad came home from work in the evening. They rushed me to the hospital. And as a six-year-old boy, you know, I had no idea what's happening. I just, you know, I'm just crying in pain and agony. And they began to put the bone together. And you have to understand, there was a time where there was no titanium plates they could put on your bones. It was way, that technology didn't exist, those people, okay? So their technology was cast. Try to do a wet cast. Try to straighten out bone as much as they can and put a cast on it, and hopefully it heals in the right place. And so that's what they tried to do to me. They put me out. I don't remember what they did. And they put a cast on me. And then a few days later, they did an x-ray. And they realized that those bones, I broke my bone below the knee where there's two bones going like that. I broke both of them. And they were tangled one around the other. And they realized that they're trying to straighten out. They actually made it worse. So now one of my legs were shorter than the other. And these bones weren't touching each other. They were kind of like that. So they came and told my dad, listen, you know, he's a six-year-old. We can't put him out in anesthesia again because he's six. And I don't know why they did that. So we're going to have to do it live. So that I remember very well. Because they cut off this cast with a big saw. And they began to separate those bones. And I remember screaming in agony. They kept my dad outside of that surgical office. And he was in agony. And it was just unbelievable pain. And they again tried to put it in the cast. And a few days later, they did an x-ray. They refused to show it to my dad. And my dad was a very smart man. He was a very direct man. He wouldn't take nonsense for an answer. So he went straight to the main doctor and says, I need to see that x-ray. And they didn't show it because the second surgery went even worse. They twisted the bones even worse. And I told them I was basically going to be a cripple. Because those things don't stay together. And my dad says, he says, yeah, doctor's just good enough to work on horses. I'm taking my son out. I mean, if you know my dad, it's not a far stretch. That's exactly what he said. And he took it, and he says, I'm taking him home. And he took me home, and my dad was a man, he's a man of God, and he also built connections with people all throughout former Soviet Union who knew God well, who talked to God. And he knew one old lady in one village. She must be in her 80s. And I remember visiting that lady as a kid because I would come along with my dad on a ride many times, and she had a gift of healing. It was a divine gift that God has given her, because in her closet, she had a closet, when you open up, it was filled with crutches and canes and wheelchairs. It's people who are wheeled in and who walked out. And I remember, and I've seen that many times, and my dad says, you know, I'm going to see it later. I'm going to go and pray there. And he leaves me home as a kid, and he drives out there. It was a few hours' drive, and he begins to pray, and he comes back excited, says, son, God's going to heal you. I said, what happened, Dad? He said, listen, God spoke to this lady. He said that because you trusted the health of my son with me, not with doctors, I'm sending my angel, and he's healing your son right now. And, when you're a six-year-old, it's very difficult to stay still. I don't know if you haven't figured it out yet. Especially when you're a six-year-old boy. So it was a summertime. You know, my dad took me to grandparents with a big cast. And a couple days, I walked with those crutches. It was just too inconvenient. And I began to walk without them. And my dad had to go somewhere, so he comes back 2 weeks later to my grandparents to check up on me. And I never knew how to ride the bike without the training wheels before that. And I learned to ride a bike without training wheels with a cast on my leg. And my swelling went down, that cast just began to dangle, kind of like, you know, something's oversized. It just dangling, so my dad looked at me, he smiled, he just took the, he cut the thing off. And listen, God did such a perfect job. My legs are perfectly even. There is no mark left. I forgot which leg it is. I literally forgot which leg it is. And what I want to do is, when I'm going to get a chance to go to Ukraine, I want to go back to the hospital and see if I can dig up those x-rays. Because I want to have them for my memory. I want to frame them. Because that's an evidence. Listen, that's a divine evidence. It's not an accident. There was no surgery. There is no pain. There is no scars. There is nothing. That's how God works. Listen, because our God is a God of the impossible. And listen, you may be facing an impossible situation. The man could say there is no good way out. Listen, there is an answer with God. And I want to encourage you to believe. I want to encourage you to pray. I want to encourage you to seek and ask and knock. Remember, I'm going to finish with this story. Remember Jacob? Long story, I was just reading through with my Bible reading plan, but he was son of Isaac. He was a kind of man who cheated his way around things. He stole his blessings of his brother. He ended up running away from his family so his brother wouldn't kill him to his uncle Laban. He marries people there, a couple of women. He comes back, huge family already, huge riches and everything he had. And there's a story when he's crossing, when he's realizing he's about to meet his brother who's very mad at him. And Bible says he got up early in the morning, was actually in the dark of the night, before the dawn. And he collected his family and he sent them out. And Bible says he stayed alone. And Bible says he wrestled with God. And church, that's the picture of knocking. He wrestled with God. The Bible says the sun began to rise and that whoever there was an angel of God he was wrestling with. Some people believe it was Jesus. He said, let me go. And it says, I would not let you go until you bless me. And you see that God changes the man's name. He was Jacob, now he's called Israel. Because, Bible says, because you wrestle with God and you have prevailed. It's not because Jacob was stronger than the angel he was wrestling with. It's because Jacob did not give up. Because Jacob knew that this person, that this angel, whoever this is, he has an answer to my need. He has exactly what I need. And I'm going to stay at it. And I'm going to stay at it until I hear that answer. Church, and that's an attitude for prayer. Is that God has an answer for you. Listen, He's got an answer. And you're going to stay at it. And you're going to keep believing, and you're going to keep asking, and you're going to keep persevering until you see God come through. Amen? That's why Jesus says, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Because God is good. Because He wants to answer your prayer. Because He wants to respond. He wants to meet your need. Listen, some of you have been trying on yourself to make your life right for so long, and you know, to put it in the words of Dr. Phil, how's it working for you? Right? I don't know about you, but I don't want to try myself. I need God. I need God to step in. I need God to take hold of my mess and make beauty out of it and make grace out of it and turn things around because God can do that, amen? Because we believe in supernatural God. Because we believe in God who answers prayers. Because we believe God who not only answers the possible, He answers the impossible. Let's be on our feet. We're going to pray right now. We're going to be finishing our fasting with communion this morning. And whether you fasted or not, that's totally fine. But we want to finish off this week of seeking and asking and knocking with the Lord's table, because this is such a representation of what's happening in the spirit realm. Because Jesus said, when you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have life in yourself. Because this is the way we get to dip into spiritual realm and spiritual reality, and not just with our spirit and our mind, but also with our body. This is the power of communion when your body begins to connect with the divine realms and divine dimensions. And we're gonna pray. I want you, as we're gonna, in a couple of moments, we're gonna pick up that cracker and that cup of juice. I want you to believe and stand before God and say, God, I receive your life. I receive your health. I receive your provision. I receive your answer. Whatever that is, whatever you've been asking for, it makes no difference. You say, God, I receive it right now. As Jesus said, and whenever you pray, believe that you will receive, and you will receive. So we're going to come over, and we're going to come as a family. And that's also the beauty of the table of the Lord. It's a family meal. That's why Apostle Paul says, listen, if you're not part of the family of God, if you're not a follower of Christ, don't participate, because it's not going to be a blessing to you. It's a family meal. But when there's a family, there's an agreement that we're going to pick that up together. We agree together. We're standing shoulder to shoulder that I'm standing with you, God. I'm standing with my brother and sister, and I'm standing believing and receiving that everything you have promised, you will give in Jesus' name. Amen. If those who help me out, please come forward. We're going to pray. Let's bow your head for a moment. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your life. Thank you for the cross. We thank you that you didn't only die to save us. We are so grateful for that. But you died to heal us. You died to redeem us. You died to heal a broken heart. You died to heal a broken family. You died to reach out and save our prodigal sons and daughters and our prodigal family members. Lord, your death and your resurrection, your ascension is an answer to every need. And you disarmed rulers and authorities. You disarmed the devil, the liar, the one who robbed us. And today, God, as we finish up this week of fasting and prayer, God, we want to tap in into the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And we want to apply it, God, to our problems, to our needs, to our situation, God. We want the life of God to come in into our deadness and bring life. Your word says, if the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal body. This morning, Father, we tap in to the spirit of life. God's word says, in the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread. He said, this is the body which is being broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me. He gave thanks and he broke it. The Bible says, in the same way, he took the cup and he said, this is the cup of the new covenant. Drink it as often as you drink in remembrance of me. Go ahead. Spread it out. Let's join in to this worship song and begin to declare it over your life. The truth of God, of God's love for you, God's grace for you, God's goodness to you. Declare it over your life. Declare it over your problem. For the good. Is exact match for our need. This morning, Father, we pick up this bread, this cup of juice, God, and as we come in as a family, as your sons and daughters, we tap in, Father, into every promise of God, into the goodness of God. We tap in into the supernatural. We tap into healing. We tap into restoration. We tap into deliverance. We tap into provision. We tap into direction. We tap into restoration of families, restoration of husband and wife. We tap into restoration of body, soul, and spirit. We apply, Lord, your life to every broken and dead area of our hearts and our lives and our bodies in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We receive it by faith. Oh, thank you, God, for what you're going to do. Oh, I thank you for the miracles. I thank you for answered prayers. I thank you for the breakthroughs, God. Thank you, God. We thank you. We come, we agree with your heart for us, Jesus. We agree with your love. We agree with your goodwill. We agree with your grace. And as a sign of the agreement, we come together and participate in this table of the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's participate. Thank you, God. We thank you, God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You're good. You're faithful. You're loving. Lord, our concern and our pain and our need, you know very well. You're not ignorant of it. You didn't forget about us, God. You write in your palm of your hands, God. Father, we come and agree for supernatural intervention. This 2019, God, we hear supernatural answers, God. We agree on it, God. We pursue it. We contend for it. We believe for it. And I thank you for what we'll see, God. Oh, I'm so excited for what we're going to see. The answers from heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, church. Thank you, everyone, for joining in. Thank you for believing, for praying. God's going to do some awesome things.